You're listening to online media from Glendale Christian Church. For more information, visit us at glendalecc.org or find us on Facebook and Instagram at glendaleccky.
I'm glad we could join together in worship and we can celebrate the communion and just the fellowship of one another. It's an awesome opportunity, and I'm really blessed to be with you all and share with you today. I want to talk to you about dreaming a little bit. You know, there's never been a bridge that has ever been built unless it was first imagined in someone's mind. There's never been a painting that has ever been painted that wasn't first put in somebody's mind. Imagination, it was there. They believed, they trusted, and they took that which was invisible and they made it visible. And today as we gather and as we talk, I want to talk to you about my dream. I have a dream that the church returns to being the church. I have a dream that the Glendale Christian Church will love more than any other time, that the body of Christ is working and serving and loving and lifting up and shining for Jesus that so brightly that the world sees. I have a dream that we truly and honestly care for one another and we share that love and care. I have a dream that we hunger for the communion, we hunger for the word, we hunger to be together and feel the presence of Jesus Christ constantly in our lives. I have that dream, and I believe that dream can become visible. I believe that we can and we will be the bright light shining for Jesus, not just in Glendale, but in all communities around. I believe. There was one day that Jesus was being chased by two blind men. These blind men followed him so closely that when he arrived at a house, they went in also. Let's look at the scripture in Matthew. As Jesus went from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And when he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and asked him, "Give us sight, give us sight." You know, I'm adding into that. And Jesus said, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" I love that. Jesus asked them, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." And then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no man knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him over the region. I find that very interesting as these men came to Jesus and said, "Heal us." Miracles were going on everywhere. And Jesus is saying to them, "Do you believe I can do this?" I think Jesus is asking you and he's asking me today, do I believe that the dreams that I have, that the Glendale Christian Church is going to be a church that is shining brightly, that is loving, that is serving, that is out there making a difference in the world? I believe that Jesus can do that through us, and only through us, if we have the faith, and when we answer that question, do you believe that he can do it? Do you believe that Jesus can do this? Do you? I do too, and I think that dream will become a reality. But dreams have to have some backbone to it, and we have to trust that Jesus Christ is in control and that Jesus is our Lord, and it's going to happen. You know, Jesus didn't do many miracles in his hometown because they lacked faith. And maybe Jesus isn't doing a lot of miracles right now because we lack faith. And I think it's time that we get back to believing and serving. And one of the ways that we can do that is to make sure that our faith is full and that our faith is on fire for Jesus Christ. I used to have an old black farm truck. It was a Lincoln. And oh, did I love that truck. It had everything. It had every bird and whistle or bell and whistle that you could ask for. It was for the birds. But anyway, it was a great truck. I loved it. And I kept that truck, and I was so proud of that truck, and it was black and shiny, and it had a sunroof or a moonroof. It had the GPS. It had everything. I loved that truck. But I undergrew it, and I wasn't able to get in and out of it as well as I'd like, so I found that Tim Isaacs was willing to take it off of me for a nice price. And Tim took that truck, and he loves that truck. And when he drives by, I keep seeing if the code on the door is still the same, but he changed it. You know, I can't get in that truck. But I love that truck. And with all the birds and blessings, I said it again, didn't I? With all the bells and whistles on that truck, there was one thing I had a problem with one day. I'd been very, very busy, and I'd running around and going here and there and yonder and doing all kinds of things, and I'd passed up several gas stations. And because I was going to get gas a little later, you know, wasn't in any hurry. And so I had to go back to E-Town, so I told Sharon I was going out to the junction, and I was going to get gas, and then I'd go on to E-Town. Well, I got out there about the valley before you get to Delbert Best. The truck had the E on it when I left home. Before, I think it was flashing yellow. I'd never seen it do that before. And so it was flashing this yellow. And when I got out to that little valley, going up the hill, the truck just stopped. It just stopped. And with all the bells and whistles and all the things, that truck stopped. It wouldn't go. So I had to call Sharon. She came out, got some gas, brought it back to me, gave me a sermon, and I put some gas in the truck, got enough to go to the gas station, and I filled up. Well, as I'm making preparation, that moment came back to my mind, and I was thinking about that. You know, I think that's a great lesson for all of us today as we're talking about our spirit. When Jesus said to the two blind men, "Do you think I can do this? Do you believe I can do this?" I think Jesus is talking to us today. Is your faith strong enough that you believe I can conquer and do your dreams? Is your faith strong enough to believe that? Is your faith strong enough to get you through the world today? Is your faith, do you believe? Do you? You see, the best time to get a fill-up is on a regular basis. And the best way for us is not to pass those gas stations, because if you continue to pass the gas stations, that yellow light's going to come on, and then it's going to stop. And with all the things that truck had, it wasn't any good. And I want to say today, if you have a winning smile, a wonderful personality, a Colgate smile, or all kinds of talent, and you don't have faith in God, then you're like that truck. You're dead and no good. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? You see, before a dream's ever accomplished, it's got to be in a person's mind. It's got to be in their heart. And before we see Jesus Christ working, we've got to see the power of Christ working in us. I have found myself that there are times that I get spiritually drained. I find myself that if I don't go on a regular basis to study God's word and to see all the things that God has in store for me, I get spiritually drained. It was a blessing to me when Peggy called and said, "Mike, I'd like for you to put on Facebook a scripture every day." And I said, "Peggy, nobody cares about that. And then I repented because here I am saying nobody cares about the scripture. What kind of man of God am I? And so I called Peggy back and I apologized. And so today, every day, I post scriptures. I post those scriptures and it adds to me because I usually, not always, but I usually go through and look for the scripture that is speaking to me that day. And when that scripture speaks to me, I'm able to post it to share. And I've had some magnificent comments coming back. And that helps me to fill up my spirit. That helps me to build up. Adam spoke to us that worship, and I love our worship because it's a smorgasbord. There's something for everyone in it. And yet, as Adam said last week, it's not what I like. I'm talking to the Lord, and it's what the Lord wants. I love the comment that someone in George Bush's cabinet said, Mr. Bush, when he was praying, I can't hear you. And George Bush said, I'm not talking to you. I love that because we're talking to God. And when we come together, we're saying, God, I believe in you. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe that we can accomplish this. I want to tell you right now, God's not looking for the best-looking people in the world. God's not looking for the most talented people in the world. God's not looking for the most articulate people in the world because he chose Moses, and Moses was far from articulate. But God is looking for those people who are people of faith, who believe that he can do it. And unless we become that people of faith, then we're dead to God. And the best time to get a fill-up is before we need it, before we're out there hurting and stranded on the side of the road. It's better to get a fill-up before we're in the ditch, because it's easier to get back on the road when we're right there than in the ditch. It's a whole lot easier to get a fill-up before we're so down and out. You can do it, but it's hard. It's extremely hard. And I want it when it's easy, and I want it when God is using me for his glory. I need a fill-up. The psalmist said he worshiped God 7 times a day. I need God. I need to be praying without ceasing. I need to be studying his word. I need to be a part of the fellowship of Christ. I look forward to Sunday morning when we can be together. I look forward when we can touch one another as we're doing now. I look forward to saying, good morning. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I can worship with you. I love my family. And I love my family that God has given me in Glendale Christian Church and this Hardin County. I love this community. And I love the opportunity to shine for Jesus. But sometimes I get so focused on everything that I'm not shining brightly, because I let the world crowd Jesus out. It's a tough time. And I need fill-ups. And I need the Word of God to keep me full. I need fill-ups. I also need to fill up on a regular basis. You know, church comes Sunday, and I want to be a part of church every Sunday. I want to be a part, and I want to be there, and people look for me there. Sometimes I mess you all up by going to another service, and I get phone calls, where were you? Well, I just didn't want to be with you that. No. I had something else that I wanted to do, and I love that. And it's going to be different when we have just the 10:30 worship. But it's going to be great, because we'll all be together in God's house. We'll all be together, and we won't have to wonder where somebody is. They're here, and we're going to be able to greet them. I look forward to being together with you, and I look forward to that regular fill-up of getting it before I need it and before it becomes a crisis. The world is very heavy and very dark, and the world crowds in on us, and the world zaps our strength and our spirit. Don't let it do it. Stay filled with the Spirit. Stay confident in that Jesus Christ is my Lord and he can do all things. Nothing is impossible with Jesus. Amen? Nothing is impossible with Jesus. And the last thing I want to say, I want to get that fill up before I need it again. I want to get it. I tell you, I'm my granddaughters, first service it was Annie, second service is my granddaughters. My granddaughters think I'm frugal. In fact, they say I'm cheap. I think I'm conservative. I squeeze the toothpaste till there's no more, and then I still stomp on it and get a little bit more out of it. The date on something doesn't mean anything. I'm using mayonnaise that I bought in 1998, and it's still good. You know, it tastes a little different than it used to, but it's still good. It's not green. And you know, I squeeze everything down to the last point. Well, I do that in my spiritual life, too. And in my spiritual life, I'm cheap. Because when I let the world drain into me and drain out of me, I lose my focus and I lose the sight of Jesus Christ. I get dissuaded. My favorite passage of Scripture is Jesus walking on the water. Because that passage is telling me that when they heard the wind, they began to sink. So many times in life, when I get spiritually drained, I hear the wind. And I lose my focus on Jesus and I begin to sink. When I'm spiritually full, I keep my eyes on Jesus. I know Jesus is in control. And I'm there. And that makes a difference. So fill up regularly. Fill up on a regular basis. And don't wait till you need it. It's not impossible to come back, but it's hard coming back. It's hard coming back from that depression. It's hard coming back. As I said, the psalmist said he worships 7 times a day. If it takes 7 times a day to keep you spiritually filled, sing those hymns 7 times a day. If you need to come to the house of God and pray, come to the house of God and pray. In my house, I put up notes and banners. Excuse me. She used to put notes everywhere for me to keep me focused and to keep me going. I still have some of those notes that I put around and I use. I put scriptures on the refrigerator to remind me. I find that mottos and posters and on your screensaver, make it a scripture that's important to you. Read God's word. Pray without ceasing. Constantly be building your spirit, filling up that you don't get over to empty. I want to ask you a question right now. This is dangerous, I know. But I want you to shut your eyes, and I want you to visualize a fuel gauge in your mind. And that fuel gauge is your spiritual fuel gauge. And as you shut your eyes and as you visualize that spiritual fuel gauge, where is it on your spirit for Jesus Christ? Where is it right now? Are you satisfied with that? Now open your eyes and look back at me. That's a fearful sight, I know. I know my face is no star. I'm behind it. It's the ones in front to get the jar. I want you to think now, what can I do to build my spirit? And I'm going to tell you some of the things I do. Some of the things I do, I pray, I ask the Lord. I find fellowship in my family. I find fellowship with one another. It's when I'm alone and when I begin to feel sorry for myself that I get in trouble. And it seems like God sends a phone call about that time that brings that right to me and opens the door that I might see. And I have top 10 scriptures. Now I'm going to give you 8. I'm going to give you 8. I want you to fill the last 2 in. But we're going to look at my top 10 scriptures, if you will, right now. My top 10 starts with Mark, the 16th chapter, the 7th verse. Here is after Peter had denied Christ. He even got scared from a 13-year or a teenager, let's say, teenage girl. She scared him. And Peter denied Christ. And now Jesus is resurrected. And he tells the disciples, go tell the disciples and Peter. You notice he singled out Peter? Go tell the disciples and Peter that I'm alive. I think when I fail, and when I fail the Lord and I feel so lost in that, the Lord is singling me out and calling me by name. And I feel that confidence and I feel that strength. My next scripture, in Luke the 3rd chapter, the 22nd verse. In Luke the 2nd, or the 22nd verse, 3rd chapter, he is saying to Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He's saying, God is saying to his Son, I love you. I love you. I'm proud of you. And there comes time in my life that I doubt, am I serving God to my fullest? And God sends some kind of a message, and he reminds me, I love you. I'm proud of you. I love you. And I find this scripture uplifting to me, that even the Son of God got discouraged and needed to hear those words, I love you. And I'm not talking about superficial words, I love you. I'm talking about heart words, that this is my beloved Son. This is my Son I love dearly, and I love him. And we need to hear that from one another. The Bible over and over and over and over and over again is saying, encourage one another, lift up one another. I want to challenge you this week to go out and give a word of encouragement to everybody you meet. Damon Ray was one of the best people I ever saw at that. When Damon Ray saw you in the hallways of East Hardin, he always had a good word for you. He always encouraged you. He always lifted you up. Let's be a Damon Ray. Let's lift up people. Let's make them feel good. A little girl was coming down the hallway, and I was with him one day, and she had on glasses, and you could tell she was aggravated because she's wearing glasses. And he said, isn't that the most beautiful girl with glasses? And she just, she just lit up. Those are the kind of compliments. Those are the kind of words. And she was. Share it to brothers and sisters. You need it. They need it. And even Jesus needed it. The next scripture, Galatians 50:20. Oh, our picture of Joseph being sold into slavery. Oh, Joseph, Simeon and all the guys got him together, and they threw him down in a ditch, and here comes a caravan, and they take and sell him, and Joseph goes down to Egypt, and all's wonderful, and he's in Potiphar's house, and he's in prison, and he's in this, and he's in that. We think, oh, yeah, he just went. If you read that passage, you're going to find that he said he went kicking and screaming. It wasn't something that he looked for. I told my Sunday school class this morning, this past week, I was reading and a passage came to me that was a very important passage, and I used it in a prayer with someone, but this passage touched me. It said, when Moses came to the Red Sea, the people said, you brought us out here to die. You brought us out here. You're going to kill us. We're better off back there. Sometimes we get caught up and we fail to see God's hand working, and God opened the sea. Potiphar's wife and all these things, distraction to Joseph. And Joseph said, God's going to open the sea for me. I know that. And he did. And we know that God's going to open and help us. And the next scripture tells us that all things work together, that God is opening that for those who what? Love the Lord and called according to his purpose. Do you believe I can do this? Do you believe I can do this? And the next scripture that I have on my top 10. I have a work in you, and I know that God's not going to leave me with a work that's uncompleted. That God has given me a job, and he expects me to do that job. And I want to please him, and I want him to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I need to keep my focus, because when I lose my focus is when I begin to sink. When I take my eyes off Jesus and I know he's there, cover for me. And next, Jeremiah, is that I have plans that God knows, and I trust those plans that God has for me. And you know, Revelation 4:2. Oh, that's a great scripture. Revelation 4:2. It is a scripture that the world is telling us, and the church is believing this. I want the church to be the church. I want us to quit playing church. I want us to be the church that's in the book of Acts. I want us to be that kind of church. And we can only do that when we believe and trust that Jesus Christ is Lord. And this scripture says, God is on his throne. The world has convinced us that God is not on his throne. The world has convinced us that the church is not going to be victorious. The church is antiquated according to the news. The church is not meeting the needs of people. And people are believing that. Brothers and sisters, God is on his throne. Amen. God is on his throne and God is going to be victorious. And no matter how dark the world's going to get, as long as you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that light will not be put out. Jesus said, my light will not be put out. You can't. So don't try. And don't listen to the world. God is on his throne. And the church is supreme. And the church is victorious. Don't you forget that. And I used to have in my bathroom, on my mirror, Philippians 4:19. I know it now, not this version, but I know it now, and every day, at least 5 or 6 times, I say it to myself so that I can go out and face the world. Every day, at least 5 or 6 times, I say this scripture, and I say it with emphasis. I say it with determination. I've even gone through and taken each word with emphasis, and I want you to say it with me today. Because I find this in my top 10, probably the most impressive word that I can do. Because I challenge myself every day to realize that I can do. That no matter what comes before me today, I'm going to do it. Because I have the strength of God with me. So would you say this with me with meaning and sincerity? I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I, say it, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can do it through him, not myself, but through him who gives me strength. You see, before a stone was laid, Nehemiah knew what the wall was going to look like. Before a church was started, Paul knew what the church would look like. Before anything is done, you have a vision. And Jesus says to you, do you believe I can do it? Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I know you can do it. I dream that Glendale Christian Church will be the church of the book of Acts. I dream that Glendale Christian Church will be the church, Bobby. I believe that Glendale Christian Church is going to be the church that loves more, that serves more, that worships more, that celebrates more, that shines brighter than any other, because we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord. I dream of a great church, and I know that we can be that church. Would you dream that dream with me? Would you dream God working through each one of us. And so if Jesus asks you right now, where's your gauge? Where's your spiritual gauge? You know, I love that old black truck. I called it a farm truck. I loved that old farm truck. But when it ran out of gas, it wasn't any transportation. It wasn't anything to me. And when I run out of spiritual gas, when I lose my confidence in Jesus, I'm little service to Him. So I need to be filled up. And I need to do it on a regular basis. And I do it by reading the scriptures, singing hymns. And you don't want to hear me sing a hymn. But I sing my hymns. And you know, the Lord's pleased with that. I know. Because I feel His presence. I say my prayers. And I wish I had the power of prayer that some of you think I do. But I pray fervently for you. And I love you and I love to pray for you. You know, have I told you about my friend? You know, a few weeks ago I told you about my family reunion and how they didn't get... Well, those who didn't speak, they spoke hello. But that was it. But that was okay. There were no issues. It was wonderful. It was a great reunion. And they've asked me to do it again. I'll let them do it. But it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And I could tell you about my nieces and all the things that are going on. I love telling you that. And I love talking to Jesus about you and about your needs. Because I can tell my friend Jesus about my friend Charlie, Jeff, Ronnie, whoever you are, that my family loves Jesus. Check your gauge. Fill up for Jesus. Be a person of confidence. Be a person of faith. And go out and make a difference. Let's stand and sing.